All right. Welcome to part 7 of our series, Summer Fruit. Hope you're enjoying this. While I welcome you to this installment of our series, let me just pause right here, as I always like to do, and welcome those who are a part of our congregation who's not visibly in the building, but are our online campus. We're so glad to have all of you watching from wherever you are across the country, maybe even around the world. Can we welcome all those that are here on our online campus? So glad that you're here. I have actually a lot of people from out of state. Let me also just point out for those that maybe are here locally, if you do not have a church, we would love for you to come and hang out with us here on Sunday morning. We actually believe church should be fun. Kind of a novel idea. You know, David said, "I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord." Not I was mad or I was sad. And we really enjoy life around here with a very life-giving church. We invite you to join with us. As far as talking about our community, let me give a shout-out to those you just heard about that served yesterday. We had a big serve day. There were almost 1,000 churches around the world on this one given day that were just an army of people serving. You know, Jesus Christ didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And so I just want to, come on, let's give a shout-out for all those. Come on, let's, yeah, awesome. Good job making a difference. That's what we're here to do. And so just really proud of you guys in that serve. We're also, let me just highlight that we focus a lot on small groups, and have a summer semester that we're in right now of small groups. I want to highlight one of those small groups. In fact, let me just say, small groups are extremely important to our church. We won't just say we're a church with small groups. We are a church of small groups, because we believe real life change happens in the context of small groups. And so one of those, though, is our second Saturday Serve small group that gives us an ongoing monthly opportunity to serve in our community, in our area. So I want to encourage you, if you're not in a small group, maybe consider that one. There are others you can look at online and choose from, but really encouraged by that and how we can just reach out and make a difference. Let me just set this today's installment up before this gets unpacked by a really great guy I'm about to introduce. But we are in part 7 as we're talking about faithfulness. And just to set him up, I want to just kind of lay out here our theme verse that we've been using for this series. It's found in Galatians chapter 5 that says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are no law against these things." As we look at this list here, I just want to encourage you, if you missed any of these, be sure and go back online. Those are archived there, and you can download those, and you can listen to that, any of those that you've missed. The first one really was foundational. I encourage you to check that one out, because when we're talking about summer fruit, this isn't just fruit that produces in the summertime. It's just that we're taking the summertime to talk about this area of fruitfulness in our lives. There are two kinds of fruit. There's a fruit that we have internal, an internal fruit that is produced by the Holy Spirit. There's also a reproductive fruit that happens. In this series, we're really talking about an internal fruit that occurs within us. But here's what the idea is that as Christ develops fruit within us, it will produce a reproductive fruit. And that's what we're praying for seasonally. We're looking at, we're believing the Holy Spirit to harvest this fruit in our lives. And in the fall, we're believing a harvest of souls. In fact, in between this series and fall, we're going to have 21 days of prayer. That's going to be kicked off the first Sunday of August. It's going to be an awesome time as we just go all in, believe God for great things. So I wanted to just set that a foundation up. But I am so thrilled today to introduce to you my brother-in-law, Steve Collins. And we don't just say brother-in-law, we say brother. So he's a great man of God. He is a faithful man of God. So I can't think of a better topic for him to speak on. He comes from a family that is very faithful. He had a faithful mother and father and family, and I'm privileged just to be a part of it. I'm married up, I told somebody this morning. And I'm just so thankful. His father taught Sunday school for, what, over 50 years consistently and faithfully. Now, Steve has picked up that baton. He ministers at the First Baptist Church of Indian Trail. and some are here supporting him today. I'm so encouraged by that. I know he's going to bring a great word for you today. And so I want him to just make himself at home. Come on up, Steve. While he's coming, would you stand and would you give him an appreciation for being here? Come on, let's give him honor today. Appreciate you, Pastor Steve.
Thank you, brother. God bless
make
you.
Make yourself at home, brother.
Thank you. Got my arms full. Good morning. Did anybody enjoy, like I did, the music this morning? I'm thankful for the music and just worshiped here with you. I love the drums. I love the violin. Is it the violin or the fiddle? I'm from the country. It's the fiddle. But and the keyboards. Thank you. And just enjoyed being here with you today. It's a joy. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And I just want to give God the glory. Not to reiterate what Pastor Theron had said, but we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, emphasis of the Spirit. This is God's work. This is His ability in us, not our ability. It's His work. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who's been to Yellowstone National Park? Have you heard of Yellowstone National Park? Hey, look. I'm kidding. In Yellowstone National Park, which is out in Wyoming, I've been as far as Colorado. That's as far as I've been. But I'd love to go there one day. There's geysers. I was so worried I was going to say geezers. And so Kim will tell you, if I get in a hurry, if I get nervous, I don't pronounce every word correctly. So I apologize to any senior citizens, salty saints that we might have listening. We're all just a young crowd here, very young. Okay. But anyway, of the 500 geysers in Yellowstone National Park, there's one that's most famous, and people come from all over to see it. I'm wondering if anybody knows the name of it. Old Faithful. Old Faithful is, it's reliable. It's constant. It's almost predictable. People come and tour buses full of geysers, and they come and they see this geyser called Old Faithful. And it's just, it's a wonder. It's God's creation in clear view. There's a spiritual sermon here, and that's why I'm here. Faithfulness, constancy, reliability, steadfastness, not quitting. Those are qualities that should be in the life of a believer, every one of us. This is the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what I want to talk about. I've titled the message, Faith and Faithfulness, because sometimes they're not the same thing. I wanted Theron Jr. to put Proverbs 26. It's not my main text, but that's where I'm starting. Most men will proclaim every one of his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? You know, the Bible says that there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof, the way, it's destruction, it's death. So, faithfulness, God's faithfulness, that's what I want to talk to you about. The fruit of the Spirit is, before I get into the main body of the message, the Holy Spirit was given to you at the moment of your salvation. Ephesians 1:13, here it is. In whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, belief is trust, belief is faith, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit resides within you when you become a believer. It is a earnest, the verse 14, it's not on the screen, it's a almost like a down payment on what God has promised to continue in you. The process of becoming more and more like Christ. Fancy word, sanctification. Romans chapter 8, verses 14, and I'll include 16. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And the Spirit is in us, and it testifies to the fact that we belong to Christ. In verse 16, I've already said it bears witness. In 1 Corinthians, I'm going to throw some scripture at you. I love messages that are soaking wet with the Word of God, dripping, because it's water. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, we've received this Spirit, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's a gift. Salvation, grace, it's not your doings. That's a good country word. It's not your doings. It's God's work in you. So when you get saved and the Holy Spirit gets in there, He's promised to, at that point, He's going to conform you into the image of Christ. Okay? Well, let's get into the body of the message. It's only three parts. I want to talk about, number one, faith. Number two, God's faithfulness, and number three, our faithfulness, what it should look like, and when you have it, what the rewards are when it's all said and done. Okay, you ready? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay. All right, just trying to get a witness. I want to talk briefly about faith. I don't want to spend too much time here, but if you ask most people that know the Word, they're going to take you straight to Hebrews 11, verse 1. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me give you my translation. God has given you this measure of faith. The Bible says He's given to each one of us the measure of faith. And it's our ability through spiritual eyes to see the things of God, the eternal things. We are temporary beings in our flesh, but the eternal things are the soul that's within us, the Spirit of God that's in us that is able to see the eternal things. Do you get that? In verse 6 of that same chapter, it says, without this faith, we can't please God. God recognizes the fact that you take Him at His word. For those who come to Him must believe that He is everything He says He is, and that He rewards those who seek Him, who are thirsty for Him. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. What's going to happen to them? They're going to be filled, right? Okay. Well, this faith that we have to please God is part of the process that comes into play when at the moment of salvation. Okay, I want to quickly, I'm doing this as quickly as I can. Grace, it's Ephesians 2:8. It says we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not anything that we could do. It's the gift. It's free. I wish I could explain. I wish somebody could help me explain this. And we can't brag about it. It's all of His work. Nothing that we could do. We'll stand before God with no ability to boast about what we've done. It's His work. So grace through faith equals salvation. Not anything else. Grace alone, faith alone, Jesus alone, salvation. Just remember this. Adrian Rogers said this, and I like it, so I'm going to include it. Grace in an acrostic. You know what an acrostic is? G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. Unmerited favor. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. So God's grace with our faith, five letters, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all I trust him. I trust him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. That's Romans 10, 17. Okay? You happy with that? I didn't come here to talk about it, but I just did. I'm thankful that it's God's faithfulness that is the reason I'm here. It's the reason you're here. It's the reason you're in church. It's His faithfulness. You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're here because you love Him, because He loved you first. So I want to talk the main body of the message on God's faithfulness. And if there's a title text of the message, it's found. All right, I'm going to talk slow so I don't mess this one up. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. When I get in a hurry, my class will tell you, Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy. Slow down, Steve. Deuteronomy. Chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. And I'm going to read it. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Okay, I know this is Old Testament, and I know that God is talking to the children of Israel. This is, but remember, the Old Testament may have been written to the children of Israel, but is written for us. It applies to us today. God hasn't changed. It applies to us today as much as it ever has. So just remember that. He's speaking to you and me. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. God chose you. He's faithful. Okay? Let's go to the next verse. But because this is what puts the spiritual goosebumps on me. I love verse 8 and 9. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh. You're a New Testament Christian. God brought you out of bondage when he saved you. You were lost and you were on your way to a place that I'm not preaching about, but a place called hell. You were lost and undone, and you were going to be separated from God for all of eternity had it not been for God's faithful. Look at your neighbor and say, God is faithful. God is faithful. I mean, I was going 100 miles an hour down the wrong highway at one point, but God is faithful. Look, and here's verse 9. I've got this is the verse. The verse. If I could, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You need to read that verse over and over until the Holy Spirit of God plants it right there. He is a faithful God. He keeps his promises. He is a merciful God to them that love him and keep his commandments. And you love him today because he first loved you. He started a work in you. He that began a good work in you is going to see it to its completion. He's going to finish the work he started in you. Somebody ought to get excited. I'm fixing to get excited. So, to 1,000 generations. My relationship with Christ is my relationship with Christ. But I am blessed by God to have been called the son of Dan and Ella Collins. Faithful. Faithful. Not in themselves, but God. And, you know, I often think, God, why did you take them home at the age that you did? And And then he just speaks to me. I took them home at the right time, at the perfect time. They're with me, and you're going to be with me, and you're going to stand at the throne of God and on your face and kneel in front of a holy, righteous God, not because of you, not because of Dan and Ella Collins, but because of Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ and this blood that he shed. That's a faithful God. Reach, look at your neighbor and say, God is faithful. Do it again. God is faithful. I ain't playing around anymore. God is holy above everything. God is holy. There's certain attributes of God, certain characteristics of God that you need to know and be as familiar as the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. That there are attributes of God, and let's go over them right now. Psalm 139:4 said, "For there is not a word on my tongue, Lord, you know it all together." God is all-knowing. The Bible says that nothing in all of creation is hidden from his sight. You know, the Bible says at one point that what's whispered in the inner room is going to be one day shouted from the rooftop. God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He never does a head scratch. He never says, "Oh, what do I do now?" No. God's plan of salvation was from eternity past, from the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. God's plan of salvation, he's always known. He's never caught off guard. Secondly, he's omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Whatever the biggest obstacle is in your life, whatever that weight and that besetting sin that's in your life, and if you say there's none, you're deceived. I mean, if we say we have no sin, we're deceived and the truth is not in us. But whatever it is, he's more powerful than it. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. God's a faithful God. Look at your neighbor and say, God's a faithful God. Okay. Thirdly, God's omnipotent. No, I said omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God is always within reach. Acts 17:27. This is a great sermon by Paul on Mars Hill in Greece. I'd love to tour Europe and Greece. So I'm going to start a GoFundMe page and you can... Okay, I'm sorry. God's always within reach. He's omnipresent. "That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." He's not far from any one of us. You just call on him. He's right there. I brought him with me today. You brought him with you today. The Holy Spirit shall be with you and in you. Hello? Worship is not something that we just did a few minutes ago. We didn't pick it up when we got here. We brought it with us. We brought it with us. God is a truthful God. God is a truthful God. God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23:19. He's never had to repent of anything. You know, he's not like you and me. We'll tell our supervisor anything to get out of work, won't we? Confession. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But God is a truthful God. I'm back on my point here. God is a truthful. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He's a truthful God. God is, my next point, 5, he's immutable. Immutable, it means he doesn't change. He is a rock. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You're here today because God, he doesn't change. We change. I used to have a thin waistline, Barrett. I used to have a full head of hair. I've changed a lot. You know, a lot. Not for the better in a lot of ways. But God does not change. God is sovereign. Ephesians 1:11. He does everything out of the counsel of his own will. In any church, a lot of Southern Baptist churches, you got to have a committee for this. You got to have a committee to run this committee, to run this committee. You got to have people come together and agree, and people will argue over everything. Oh, the carpet's not the right color. The lights are wrong. I don't like the music. I really like the music, but I'm just giving an example. God is sovereign. He does everything out of the counsel of his own will. So I'm scratching the surface of characteristics, attributes of God. I wish I could get this out this morning. What is the basis, what is the foundation of your life, of your relationship with Christ? It is the character of God. It's his faithfulness to you. The fruit of the Spirit in us, it's him. It's of the Spirit. You know? It's about, the Bible talks about being crucified. I'm crucified with Christ. You know, and I don't live anymore. It's Christ that lives in me. So we have to die. And it's not just that one-time salvation experience, which I believe is, it's more than shaking the preacher's hand, you know, and it's more than filling out a card. Salvation is a convulsive, life-changing event. If anybody's in Christ, they're a new creation, and it's his work. It's nothing that we can do. But when salvation takes place, when it's, it is the foundation of your life. It is your life. You're new. You know, the old things, the old man, what the Bible calls the flesh, it has to be crucified. When Christ was on that cross, you were on the cross with him. You died. But Colossians 3 says you died and your life is now hid in Christ. So daily, not just at the moment of salvation, but daily, we're to die. Die to self, die to sin, die to that flesh. One day we will be rescued from this body of death. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Well, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus that's going to rescue us. Amen. Well, 2 Timothy. Did I skip one? Well, let's go to 2 Timothy 2:13. Even if we mess up and blow it, and we think we've gotten so far away from God, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Aren't you glad? Somebody look at your neighbor. Give him praise. Give him praise. But look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad God's faithful. I'm so glad God's faithful. Raise your hand if you've blown it. Many, many times. Some of you got two arms up. He can't deny himself. He's faithful. He's faithful. You're here because he's faithful. His unwavering love toward you. God demonstrates this love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the lowest of us. We're all on the same ground. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray and gone our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. Aren't you thankful? Does that not demonstrate the faithfulness of God? And not only did he say, I'm going to save you, but I'm going to be with you. He said, what, two or three are gathered in my name. Where am I going to be? In your midst. He said, He told the disciples right before he was going away, he said, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. Because think of it this way. Christ in all his glory was encased in this physical body, just like you and me. And he was limited. He was not limited. He was always God. But as he walked this earth, he walked this earth. He didn't drive the nice car you have out there. He only went a certain amount of space. He was just like us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so, this doesn't sound right, but Lord Jesus limited himself and became like us and lived like we did, yet was without sin. And he knows, he's able to relate to everything that we go through. We serve a Savior who was tempted in every way that we are, but he was without sin. So look at your neighbor right now and say, I'm thankful that we serve a God that we could not get to on our own. He's holy, holy, holy. And we could never approach the throne of grace in ourselves. We can't clean ourselves up. It doesn't matter if you quit smoking, drinking, run around with the women who do. We serve a Savior who came down from glory, put on this flesh, walked in the ways of God, his Father, not to do his own will, but to do the Father's will, and to show us that we can be like him if we accept his sacrificial gift on the cross where he shed his rich red royal blood that we might have access to this holy, holy, holy Father. He did that for us. We have access to God through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. The way. I'm sorry for all those out there that say there's many ways to God. There ain't. There's one way. One way. And he's a faithful God. I'm speaking the gospel here. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. You're hearing it. And it doesn't matter the messenger. It's the message. It's the Word. Let me get back on my points. Okay. So we talked a little bit about faith. We've talked about God's faithfulness, which we could stay here for eternity and talk about God's faithfulness. But I want to speak a little bit about our faithfulness, what faithfulness should look like in us. I looked up faithfulness in the dictionary. I have an uncle named Uncle Google, and I looked up Uncle Google. Does everybody have that crazy uncle at the family reunions and Christmas and Thanksgiving? And I'm not going to identify any uncle that we might have, Kim, but that uncle talked like he knew everything. I'm trying to think of all the uncles that might be watching me. But I looked up the definition of faithfulness from that great theologian Webster, or Google, and it said to follow through with a commitment regardless of the difficulty. Follow through with the commitment regardless of the difficulty. Have you had any difficulty in your life? Have hard times ever come? Has trial and tribulation ever come? Well, you know, the Bible says that count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. Peter says, think it not strange, the fiery trials that you're going through. All this is meant for your growth, for your edification, for God developing those characteristics in you that are really his characteristics. You know, this fruit that you've been talking about, have you enjoyed this series, Fruit of the Spirit? This fruit that you've been, amen. This fruit that it's him working in you. He said he's going to make you more like Jesus every day. So how is my faithfulness? Is it mine to begin with? No, it's not our faithfulness. It's his faithfulness in us. It's him working in us. We are conduits for the Holy Spirit of God to go out. God could have had billboards all over the highway declaring the gospel, but he chose to use human beings redeemed by the blood of the Lamb to declare the gospel to those that don't know him. Kim and I drove to the beach one time, and I don't know the highway number, but it was every 40 feet there was a billboard, and it was advertising this dinner theater, Pirate's Voyage. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to, has anybody been to Pirate's Voyage? Well, you should go because they spend a lot of money on advertising. They had a billboard every 40 feet, and we got, by the time we got down there, we were disgusted. And we almost, we vowed to each other that we were just not going to that show because they ruined the scenery of the ride down there. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't flash the gospel up on the marquee as much as he does it within you. There's nothing more powerful, and there's no advertising more powerful than a changed life. The fruit of the Spirit in you. Changed lives. That's where your faithfulness reflects his faithfulness. Another definition was true to one's word, steady in allegiance or affection. Words like loyal, constant, reliable, steadfast, dependable, trustworthy. We could go on. Faithfulness is love hanging in there. You know, you come to church every Sunday. When we were growing up, Kim, if the church doors were open, we were there. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, church socials, we were there. You know, it's almost to the point where, man, I mean, my Cowboys come on so late that, you know, we didn't have the technology that we did today. We didn't have a VCR at one point. Can't tape the game. I'm just, confession time. I mean, confession is good for the soul. I used to, one time, try to get out of going to church on Sunday night. I said, Mom, let me watch the Ten Commandments on TV. Charlton Heston. It's spiritual. It's a four-hour movie. It's a lot longer than church is going to be. Ten Commandments. So, you know, Charlton Heston. God bless him. Anyway, it's the kind of faithfulness in us that says, God, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to be there seeking your face. If we're hungry and thirsty, he'll fill us. So I'm here to tell you, I'm closing now. Anytime a preacher says I'm closing, look out, because I've seen many where closing means, Barrett, that's point one. Let me go on to point two. This is a 47-point message. So if I could encourage Crosspoint today and encourage you individually, I would say keep on keeping on. Keep on staying faithful. Keep on serving. Keep on giving. Keep on seeking the will of God. Keep on praying. Keep on meditating on his word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're not home yet. Jesus could come at any moment. I believe in the imminent return of Christ. I believe the trumpet is going to sound. And one day, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be changed. I believe that. That's the word of God. But until then, it could be today. That rapture could be 100 years from now. But until then, what am I going to be found doing? Do I love? Last time I was here, I spoke on loving Jesus. You know, loving Jesus and being faithful to him, they're very close cousins. They're first cousins. you know, I'm not going to say the joke I was going to say. But keep on trucking for Jesus. That's one we used to say way back in the day. Keep on trucking. Keep on trucking for Jesus. That's what I want to tell you. Because here is the rewards. You know, when you graduate from UNC Charlotte, you walk across that stage, you get that diploma. Is anybody listening back there? You get that diploma, you get your reward for all the study and all the long nights, the Coca-Colas you had to drink to stay awake. You get rewarded. God rewards faithfulness. What did we say? It's impossible to please Him without it. It's impossible to please Him. So here's my closing three verses, and then I'm going to hand it back over to the pastor. Okay? Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Keep on playing this keyboard for the glory of God. Keep on playing these drums for the glory of God. Keep on playing the violin for the glory of God. Steve Guptill, wherever you are, keep on playing this guitar for the glory of God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. He's faithful. Look at your neighbor and say, God's faithful. I want to hear these words when I stand before God. Not those. Matthew 25, verse 21. This is what I want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Despise not the day of small things, by the way. Don't be discouraged, because you will be discouraged in life. But you've been faithful in a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. All the burdens that you carry, all the discouragement, all the trials and tribulations, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'll finish up with 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And I'm going to probably read verse 8 too, if there's some way you can put it. I have fought a good fight. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. But this is you and me, children of God. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Okay, all right, don't worry about it. Therefore, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to those who love Him and look for His appearing. Do you hear me today? Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, I'm coming quickly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen just like that. And my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his work. Keep on being faithful to God, because He's never failed you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's a faithful God. I want you, in this time of invitation, this time of self-evaluation, as I hand it over to the pastor, I just want you to call on the name of the Lord. No matter what you're going through, what you're carrying, what doubts, fears, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing bigger than God. He's a faithful God, and I'm thankful for it. Let me close in a little prayer before the pastor comes. Father, Lord, I thank You. I thank You that, Lord, I love You today because You first loved me. And, Lord, I've failed You many times, but You've never failed me. You've been faithful to me through everything, that I cannot outrun You. I cannot remove myself from Your presence. If I go to the mountaintop, You're there. If I make my bed in hell, You're there. I can't run away from You. You know what? That tells me that You love me, that You're faithful to me, that You're close to whoever calls on You. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful for the whosoever's, because I'm one of them. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I want to see your face. This faith that we live by, the just shall live by faith, will one day become our eyes, and we'll look upon the King of glory who gave himself for us and saved our souls and made us righteous in the eyes of a holy God. It's too great for me to even imagine, but I'm trusting you and I'm believing in you, and I'm just going to keep on because you're carrying me. Lord, let that be everyone's prayer here today. Lord, it's in your precious, matchless name, the name of Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. What a tremendous word. Let me look at me for just a moment. I believe that God just gave us a word for this church. It was a great word of encouragement. Some of you need to hear that. Keep on keeping on. How was it, Steve? Keep on trucking. Keep on trucking. For some of us, it wasn't just a general word for the whole church, but it's specifically. Somebody needed to hear that. We used to sing a song as Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. There may be some areas in your life that, when you're hearing this, you know that it needs to change. It needs to surrender to God. It needs to allow him to come in to that area of your life. I don't want to add or take away from this message. I'm just here to simply lead you in a prayer. I want to give you an opportunity to respond, as Steve was saying. I want you right now, would you just bow your heads with me? If you're here in this building or you're watching online, I want you to join with us as we pray. But you're saying today, yeah, God put his finger on a spot in my life that needs to surrender. It may be that you're coming back. You're not where you used to be. You need to come back. You need to fully surrender your life to the Lord. It may be that you've never done that, and you need that relationship with the Lord. Or it just may be some area in your life that you know you need a faithful God to help you with that area of your life. I want to just lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you, have you stand or come to the front, but right where you're seated, I want to lead you in a prayer of surrender. It's not a magical prayer. All you got to do is mean it. I'm just going to help you with the words. I'd like everybody, whether you need to pray this or not, I'd like everybody to join us with this prayer for support. But right now, I want to know those that you'd say, Pastor, that's me. When you pray that prayer, would you include me? Would you count me in? Just slip up a hand while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you can put it right back down. God bless you. Good job. Yes, yes, yes. Good job. You're watching online. Join with us. You've heard the gospel message. All it needs is a response. So can you respond by just saying this right now? See, today, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I thank you for first coming to me and first loving me. Even where I am right now, you love me. Today, I accept your love. I accept your gift of life. Through your sacrifice, when you gave your life for me. Today, I invite you to come in, make me brand new. I surrender every part of me, my past, my present, my future. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross so that I could live. I accept you today. I declare you as Lord of my life. I turn from my way to your way. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, say this right now. I give you my life. And with all of my heart, I will follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for those that have prayed that prayer today. Lord, I thank you for those that have now allowed you to come in. And now when we give you entrance into our life, God, everything changes. That moment. And it continues to change as we continue to follow you. So, Lord, I pray day by day. Lord, I thank you for your word that has found good soil. Now, day by day, let it grow. Let fruit come forth. We thank you, God, for your word that has accomplished today and will continue to accomplish tomorrow as you help us follow you, not by our might, but by your spirit. We thank you, God. And Lord, I praise you. Thank you for this word, God, to not only us individually, but as a church. God, that you are faithful. And Lord, you are faithful to complete what you have begun in us and through us. And God, at the end of it all, we give you all the credit, all the praise, all the glory. For it's in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen.